From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter with this news. Juneau City officials met with Governor Mike Dunleavy in a closed-door meeting Wednesday. It was originally advertised as a public meeting, but city officials changed their minds. City Manager Rory Watt says the governor's office extended an invitation to meet with the assembly last week. The city accepted and advertised the public meeting in Friday's Juneau Empire, as required by law.
We were always putting ads in the paper, so it just got put in there before anybody had a chance to think about what that meeting might be and what it might accomplish.
Mayor Beth Weldon says she and Watt made a joint decision to make the meeting private instead. She felt that the point of the meeting was to have a candid conversation with Dunleavy about the impact of his budget decisions.
I wanted him to talk to some of our department heads and talk to the people that in the city government that it actually has affected.
When they decided to close the meeting, no public notices were sent out, but the city's online calendar was updated. Watt, Weldon, Deputy Mayor Maria Gladyshevsky, and several department heads went to the governor's office on Wednesday afternoon instead of hosting him in the assembly chambers as originally advertised. Both Watt and Weldon say they covered a number of topics in the hour-long meeting, like concerns that shifting school bond debt reimbursement costs from the state could force municipalities to search for other sources of revenue.
Raising property taxes, I think we recognize is not preferred and not good for business development, which is something that's important to him.
Watt says Dunleavy and his staff listened and took notes, asking questions occasionally. City officials also asked the governor if he had any suggestions for Juneau.
He was very complimentary about the community, and he was complimentary about the diversity of Juneau's economy. He didn't immediately have suggestions on how we could be a better capital city.
Assemblymember Carol Treem says she's disappointed that the decision to make the meeting private was not left up to the full assembly.
We should have made that call. And I think we're depriving Juneau residents of this access to the governor that has been pretty scarce over, you know, the 14 months of his administration.
Watt says this is the first time city officials have formally met with the governor. In his experience, he says it's fairly unusual for any administration to reach out to learn about the city's concerns and priorities.
Juneau has voiced displeasure with the impact of the governor's budget cuts in the past, and, you know, I don't think those issues were resolved.
As for whether the city followed proper procedure in notifying the community about the public-turned-private meeting, City Attorney Rob Palmer says that's a gray area. The city is required to provide notice of any public meetings before they happen, but not necessarily of cancellations.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any law that requires us to do so.
The governor's office has also made plans to visit Wrangell and Petersburg next month. Jeff Turner, a spokesperson for the governor's office, confirmed in an email that there would be other community meetings, but did not provide details. He wrote that a formal announcement with dates and times for those meetings will be released soon. And the governor's office has now confirmed details for public events in both Petersburg and Wrangell next week. The governor will hold a town hall in Petersburg at 6 p.m. on Monday and will visit Wrangell for a 5 p.m. town hall on Tuesday. More public events will be announced later. When the last of the Alaska Marine Highway System mainliners broke down in Juneau last weekend, the state chartered a pair of private catamarans to get most of the Matanuska's passengers to their destinations. But as Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, more than two dozen people with cars and trucks remain stranded.
The Matanuska hasn't moved since last Sunday, January 26, and it's not likely to get underway until February 7th. That's because serious mechanical problems forced the ferry to cancel the rest of its sailings in January. The Department of Transportation chartered a pair of boats for most of the passengers to finish their journey the next day. But 5 days later, there's still more than two dozen on board as the ship sits in Juneau's Auk Bay.
All the walk-ons split.
Rex Lauber has just come off the ship to talk to me. He's trying to finish his journey from Ketchikan to Palmer, where he lives. He's got a vehicle, so the chartered Allen Marine boats were no use to him. He's got nothing but time while the ferry is being repaired.
So they're feeding us. We have staterooms. It's the crew is going out of their way to make life as pleasant as they can. I got no problem with the crew.
He's less impressed with management for relying on a single ship to hold up the ferry system. Clark Posey is the ferry's bosun, standing watch at the top of the ramp. State officials wouldn't allow me to board the ship, But both these guys are happy to talk about the state of the ferry system.
If you only have one vessel running and something happens, there's no backup. We don't even have anything in reserves. Everything is down and out, shipyard or laid up permanently in Ward Cove. And so here we are waiting to fix the only boat that's doing the mainliner run.
The Matanuska's sister ship, Malaspina, is in cold layup. It's been stripped, meaning it's not likely to return to service in Alaska. Other ships are being overhauled, except the Aurora. It's unclear what the state intends to do with that one. The Dunleavy administration released its $250,000 ferry study that concluded privatizing the system wouldn't be feasible. As for next steps, the governor is putting together a working group to advise him. Kodiak House Republican Louise Stutes and Sitka Senate Republican Bert Stedman will be part of that effort. Posey has been sailing with the Marine Highway for 15 years, and he has some suggestions. He says adding crew quarters to the fleet's two new ships would allow them to fill in times like these.
Honestly, I'm hoping that the two new Alaska-class ferries, the Hubbard and the Taslina, get set up to run as 24-hour boats. Right now, they're day boat only, and they're limited on what they can cover.
Lauber, the marooned ferry passenger, says he's disappointed that his state representatives in the MATSU recently voted against an extra $5 million in ferry funding.
Heads need to roll. And I was supporting the governor until this happened. And I think he lost my vote over this.
In the meantime, there is one other option for people in Lauber's position, a barge to Haines. But it'd take a vehicle 5 days to get there, and he'd have to fly. That option would be both slow and expensive, says the retired 71-year-old.
They want us to pay for the barge and the airfare. And, you know, I got my meals, I got a warm bunk.
Until the ferry gets underway, he and about two dozen others are prisoners of the state's hospitality. Reporting in Auk Bay, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Governor Mike Dunleavy spoke to business leaders Thursday in Juneau. He linked his hopes for building Alaska's economy to the state's political future. He mentioned several states where elected officials don't want to develop natural resources, but he made it clear that Alaska's elected officials and their political ideas will shape the state's economy.
If Alaska remains a state that wants to develop its resources in a responsible manner, our location is going to bode extremely well for us.
Dunleavy says the state is in a good position on multiple fronts. One is the warming Arctic, which could allow for shipping across the Arctic Ocean. Another is the demand for minerals that are used in electronics.
And I think these rare earths, these minerals, graphite finds, etc., are going to be coming into play sooner than we think.
Yet another front is the possibility the state could benefit from companies seeking to transport oil from Alberta to the Pacific Ocean through a proposed rail link through Alaska. One thing the governor did not address during his time was the state's budget deficit. But he did say that the state services cuts he proposed last year could be the basis for further discussions. Traveling by ferry isn't the only way to get to Skagway. Unlike many communities in southeast Alaska, it's connected to a highway. But heavy snow and avalanches in the White Pass have closed the only road in and out of town. Henry Leisha reports that the Alaska Department of Transportation organized a caravan Wednesday to help residents travel the Klondike Highway.
The highway has been closed to traffic since Saturday evening when two trucks collided, spilling fuel on the roadway near milepost 11. After that incident, multiple avalanches covered sections of the road in 10 feet of packed snow and debris. That left some Skagway residents stranded across the Canadian border until the roads could be cleared. By Wednesday, Alaska Department of Transportation cleared enough snow and debris for some traffic to pass. Skagway resident Danielle Authier had been stuck in Whitehorse for 3 days when she was notified that DOT had organized a caravan to get back to Skagway. She says a plow led seven cars through a section of deep snow with a pilot car trailing behind.
It was whited out. We were driving through the cleared avalanches. They got it single lane so we could get through. We were going 5-10 miles an hour, and it was a little terrifying. I was trying to stay calm because I had my 4-year-old daughter with me, and I didn't want her getting upset.
When they made it to the border, another line of cars was waiting to leave Skagway. They began a second caravan out of town. There was some confusion about how long the road would be open due to conflicting notices from transportation officials. People who showed up at the border after the caravan left were turned away. Skagway Mayor Andrew Cremata says some residents are still trying to get home.
We still have a number of people White Horse who are still stuck there. Now it looks like till possibly Saturday because of all the avalanches.
The Skagway Police Department announced Thursday morning that four more avalanches crossed the Klondike Highway between Carcross and Fraser. The highway has been closed until further notice. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
And with a weather update, it's currently 32 degrees and light snow at the Juneau International Airport. Tonight, showers, accumulation of around an inch possible. Saturday, snow showers likely, high near 30. New snow accumulation of 1 to 2 inches possible. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. For more local and state news, go to ktoo.org. I'm Adeline Baxter.